want to give a real big warm welcome to everyone who is watching live on Facebook, live on Instagram, everyone who is listening on podcast or watching on YouTube. You're very welcome. And if you are new here, we know it takes a lot of courage, so huge respect. We have a good few new people here today. We're going to give you an enthusiastic, warm round of applause to say welcome to all our guests. God bless you. It's great to have you with us. Today happens to be Vision Sunday. We're basically talking about who we are as a church and where we're going. Why is that important? Because if we don't get that right, we don't know what we're about. So I'm calling today's word City of Refuge, and the strapline is Colony of Heaven. When the Bible, if you translate it fully, talks about Christian churches, it actually calls them colonies of heaven. It's an invasion of the future to the present. We live in a broken world. Do you agree?
Yes.
The world we live in is broken. People are broken. Broken minds, broken hearts, broken bodies. But there is one who is a healer, and his name is Jesus. And so in a broken world, we can experience a touch of God that makes a difference to our lives. So brothers and sisters, on Vision Sunday, I want to talk about where we're going. And I want to talk about how in the Bible, there are some beautiful pictures and images that speak to us about something about the heart of God. And you can see them all over. A couple of very brief examples. The Old Testament Israelites sacrificed a lamb on Passover, and then they took the blood of the lamb and put it on their front door. And when death visited all the homes of the Egyptians, the homes of the Israelites, death passed over. That's what Passover means. And death didn't visit that door and that home. And that is the blood of Jesus today. If the blood of Jesus Christ is on your front door, death passes over. Who'll say hallelujah? It passes over. It's a beautiful picture. What about the manna, the miracle? How God gave his people bread in the desert miraculously. He gives us our daily bread. He cares for us. It's a beautiful picture. Or the picture of Jesus being the good shepherd, which he described himself. Now, he was a carpenter, but all the culture and the people back then knew a shepherd would risk his life for the sheep. The shepherd protected the sheep. He fed the sheep. He looked after them, particularly the young and the weak and so on. And the shepherd of our souls is Jesus Christ. And so you have all these beautiful pictures, but one of the most evocative and powerful picture is found tucked away in the Old Testament. It was initiated and motivated and created by God, and it's what's known as the cities of refuge. I'm here today to suggest to you, dare I say, to submit to you, that a Christian church, if it's functioning properly, is like the city of refuge that we find in the Old Testament. This house should be a place of refuge. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
Because we need refuge from so many troubles of the world. So we're going to look at that today, and I'm going to be talking from some verses in the book of Joshua, chapter 20. We'll throw them on the screen, but I'm going to pray now. So let's pray together. We pray that your word that comes from the Bible would resonate and take root in our heart.
Amen.
Anyone else beside Michael say amen.
Amen?
How about we hear aloud amen?
Amen.
This is for your soul and mine.
Yes.
And we pray, God, that what is from you would bear fruit in our lives.
Amen.
And whatever's from me would be soon forgotten. But your word will last forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So we're looking at these cities that were created in the Bible. I think it's very interesting, and maybe we can see this church and other churches like it around Ireland and around the world in a similar way. The Lord said to Joshua, Tell the Israelites, so Israelites is the people of God today, that's Christians, designate cities of refuge in the land. If anyone kills someone accidentally or unintentionally, they can run to one of these cities. They will be places of safety and refuge from the relatives seeking revenge and death for the person who was killed. When the innocent one flees to and reaches one of these cities, they must present their case to the leaders at the city gate. If sincere, they can live freely among the people of that city. If relatives come to avenge the death, the leaders must protect that person, as the killing was unintentional. These cities are for all the people of the land and the immigrants living among them. The context here is that there were no prisons in ancient Israel. In fact, at that time, there were no prisons anywhere. You did something wrong, you did. And the family would get you. It's a bit like mafia or the Amarta thing. If someone was killed, then an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, you were killed. Even though it was totally innocently happened, it was an accident. Here is the first verse of this, where God said, designate the cities of Israel, or of refuge. You can see the map of ancient Israel there on the left. Kedesh in Galilee, Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, Hebron in Judah, east of the River Jordan, you have Bezer on the wilderness plain, Ramoth in Gilead, and Golan in Bashan. Ancient Israel was a lot bigger than the current state of Israel, just in case you're getting confused there. But you can see these cities were scattered throughout the land. So I want to do a bit of teaching as well as preaching today. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, they were enthusiastic at the 10 o'clock. Enthusiastic. So let's hope we get a bit of enthusiasm in this congregation as well. This is really important. Here's a little bit of teaching. These cities were strategically placed. They were about a day's travel. Just imagine, you're involved in an accident. You're just there. Someone else is killed. And now your life is at risk. If you don't run that day to get to one of these cities, you're dead. But you go there and you're safe. And so the cities were all within a day's travel of the different regions of Israel. As a Christian church, we have given all our lives. The last 44 years of my life has been to help to build the kingdom of God in this city. We speak a better word than dead religion. We'll say amen.
Amen.
Religion isn't what we need. It's relationship with the living God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so we spent all our time or money or effort, and we really wanted to be strategically placed. Number one, in Cork, which is the second city of Ireland, of the Republic. We wanted to be in Cork because, well, we're from here, but it's also the centre of the province of Munster. We wanted to be in the city centre. And this was ideal for us because you're a couple of minutes walk from the train station, couple of minutes walk from the bus station. People can come from west, east, north, south, and meet here in the middle. To be strategically placed is vital. A lot of people don't think that. Here the Lord will bless you. No, God gave you a brain.
That's right.
God gave you ability. You make intentional decisions under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So our church, it's so important that we are strategically placed. These cities were run by or inhabited by a tribe called the tribe of Levi, or Levites, you'd say. Remember, how many tribes in ancient Israel were there? Anyone tell me?
12.
11 tribes got an inheritance of land, but one tribe didn't get any inheritance of land. That was the tribe of Levi. Why? They were the priestly tribe, and they ministered unto the Lord, and they were all married, and they had their wives and their kids and all of that. But the Bible says, you're not going to get any land, your inheritance is the Lord. That's your inheritance. So this tribe were a little different from the other tribes. Even though we may own houses and land, can I suggest that's us today? I own houses, but they don't own me. You have to have a detachment, don't you? The Lord is our inheritance, brothers and sisters. That's what it's all about. Because houses, when I die, they'll be there after me. But eternity is forever. So we bring the Lord with us, amen? So this was the culture and the mindset of this tribe of Levites. And so these cities were different from the ordinary cities. So the Levites, the tribe of Levi, got these cities to live in and some grazing land for their animals, but they didn't have a tribal possession. They maintained the roads going to the cities of refuge. This was really important. And for us, we make sure this building is clean. Hallelujah. We have a brilliant cleaning team who are volunteers, praise God, who work when nobody sees it. We make sure the building is painted, that it's properly presented, that it's warm, that we serve great coffee. Hallelujah. Starbucks, eat your heart out. Why do we do all that? We make sure we've got a ministry right next door for children under 4 or under 5 who haven't started school yet. That we have a kids' church, which is upstairs for primary school children. That we have a teenage church downstairs, Tribe Youth Church, that's happening right now. And a Polish congregation and a Spanish group. And we have all different age groups. Why? Because we have to maintain the roads for people to find their feet in the Christian church. The roads were well signposted. What are the signposts today? Well, besides, we've got screens in the front of the building telling what's going on right throughout the night, 24/7. Today, the signposts are digital. You're going to take out your phone and you're going to try and find out how long will it take me to get there? What's the restaurant nearby? Or where's the cinema or whatever? That's why years ago, we set up, about 2 years after it began, we set up a web page. We thought we were so cool. Hallelujah. We had a web page. But it moved on to that, from that to a website. Then we were on Facebook, then Instagram, then about a year ago, just under, I remember saying, we really need to be on TikTok. Now you might go, I knew it, TikTok Tom, he's a TikTok fella. I'm actually not a TikTok person at all. But if we want to reach that generation, within the church and outside the church, you got to have the signposts. That's why we're on all these platforms, besides YouTube and podcast and all of them. These cities were well signposted. The entrance was open. In other words, you could go there when you were in trouble and you were welcomed there. Yes, they had to make sure there was sincerity. You just weren't out chancing your arm or you were really a murderer. But the entrance was open and vital. There was a culture of acceptance because in that city, they knew God had called them to reach out to people. Reach out to people who were homeless, who were struggling with addiction, who were lonely, people who suffered from depression, whatever it is, people with broken hearts, people with mental health issues, people who are sick. They were called by God to have a culture, a city, where people could come like this as well as others. And that culture of acceptance was so different from many of the other tribes, like the tribe of Manasseh or the tribe of Dan or Simeon. If you were in one of their cities and you were on the run, they would cross the road from you because the family would kill you as well as him or her. And so it was very important that there was a culture of acceptance there. By the grace of God, we have a culture of acceptance here. Who'll say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
What will heaven be like? We were joking earlier with men and women. Do you know what heaven will be like? Will it be all Irish people? God forbid. I've seen too many freckles for one life. Heaven is going to have every tribe, every tongue. Do you not think the church should be like that? Should the church be just one racial group? Should the church be just one type of person? Will all the wealthy go there, and all the poor people go there, and all the black people go there, and the Asians go there, and the Irish only go there? That's not what heaven is like. That's not what the church should be like. It tells us these cities will be places of safety and refuge from those who are seeking revenge and death. Brothers and sisters, can I put a truth to you? You have been chased in your life. And I've been chased in my life. You've been chased by trouble. Who here hasn't struggled with some kind of illness at one stage? Physical, mental, maybe emotional? Who here hasn't been troubled with work or with study or with family issues? And so, again and again, in the broken world that you and I are living in, there is something within us that draws us to a place of safety and refuge. And that's why it's so important here that every human being here is respected. You might go, ah yeah, sure, that's the way it should be everywhere. Unfortunately, it's not. But in here, you are accepted and you are respected. Who'll say amen? Amen. You're respected for who you are. You don't have to be like me. You be you and I be me, but we respect one another. Why? Because we are all made in the image of God. Amen. That's why it's so important for us. Men and women are equal. Yeah. Okay, Cheap, you're the only one who agrees that. Men and women are equal.
Amen.
We're different, but we're equal.
Amen.
How about a loud amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So we respect each other, men and women, young and old, different age groups, different backgrounds, educated, uneducated, it really doesn't matter. We respect one another. This is a place of safety. Some people come in here, many people come in here, we keep the lights low and people are quietly weeping. There's space and privacy here to do that. It's okay. No one is going to go, ah, ha, ha, look at her, she's crying, let's have a laugh. I mean, that's not going to happen here. Because it's a safe place, a place where you are respected. It tells us when the innocent one flees to and reaches the city, they must present their case to the city leaders. You've had trouble in your life, I've had trouble in my life, and we're being chased by trouble sometimes. And so we go to the one who is our refuge. I'm looking for two volunteers. I have two great volunteers at the 10 o'clock congregation, Josh and Alan. And Josh is now down with teenage church helping. Alan is up with kids church helping there. But maybe I could get two men who are able to run. Could I get two volunteers, two guys who are able to run? La 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 la, la la la. Can we get two fellas who are just able to run? You just run around twice. Who have I got there? Who's coming up? This is Ivan and this is Carol. Carol, well done, guys. Okay, I want one guy to do the chasing. See, it has to be two fellas because it doesn't get complicated. One to do the chasing and one to running. Which do you want to do? You're doing the chasing. You're the chaser. Okay, Carol. I want you to stand over here, Carl, okay? And Ivan, you stand here. Oh yeah, you gotta try and catch him, yeah, yeah. Are you a fast runner, Carl?
I think so anyway.
Do you know, it's great to see guys in their 40s, like, because the other two fellas were young fellas and they were running like mad, but we can run at any age. Hallelujah. Ah, go away out of that! Oh, that's all right. I thought you were stripping to the waist there. Okay, so here's the thing. What does the chase look like? Put yourself in the position. An accident happens. Oh, we're getting business here. Somebody dies and you're in the accident and they're going to kill you, so you gotta run. So to come to three, okay? Carol, I want you, we're giving you a start. And I want you to just run around twice, run around the edge, okay? So Carl's going to start and then Ivan is going to follow him. Are we ready?
Yes.
One, do it with me. One, two, three, go! Woo! Go on, go on, go on, go on, go on, go on, go on! That's it, Carol, go on, go on! Woo, 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 woo! Oh, Ivan is coming up, Ivan is coming up, but Carol has got it, come on! Woo! Go on, go on, go on! Oh, it's a bit sharper! Whoa! Hey, up here, Carol, up here. Hey! Well done, Carl. Well done, Ivan. Give him a round of applause. Woo-hoo! Never take the middle-aged men for granted. I'm telling you that. Telling you that. The two fit young fellas running earlier, they were great, but we can be great at any age. Praise God. It's a rotten feeling if someone is chasing you. It's a rotten feeling when you feel their breath behind you. Anyone who was mugged or attacked will know that feeling. You don't like it. Praise God when you find a place of safety and refuge. And this is what the people in ancient Israel did. They ran for their lives, literally. And they presented their case to the leaders of the city. And what does that mean today? It's when we invite the Lord into our lives, when we make a decision to follow the Lord. And 2 weeks ago, Easter Sunday, we do it twice a year, we baptized 22 adults, normally about 20 every spring and autumn. And we baptized them, and that was their, if you will, statement: I've decided to follow Jesus. The old me is buried. There's a new me in town. And these are my people. It doesn't mean you've joined and signed a covenant with your blood or anything. It's just you publicly identify as a Christian. So in the same way, these guys spoke to the leaders. And then they came under the protection of that city. It says, then they can live freely among the people of the city, like we live freely among each other and enjoy our community. And it tells us the city is for all the people of the land, as well as the immigrants living among them. Now, back then, thousands of years ago, states were very racial. But even then, though it was a state for Jews, the same blessing was visited upon the immigrants who were living with them. How much more so in the New Testament? Hallelujah. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So the people of the land who were born there, raised there, they had as much right as the immigrants, and the immigrants had as much right as them. If the relatives come to avenge the accidental death, the leaders must protect them. And the New Testament says that the leaders of the church, the leadership team, pastors and so on, must protect the flock. It says guard the flock. And what does that mean today? Is someone coming in here to kill you? No. But we're called to protect against false doctrine or heresy. If you start hearing stuff that's not in the Bible, it wrecks your head and it wrecks your faith. And that's why as leaders in the church, we must protect against that. So if someone comes in and starts promoting something that's off the wall, we've got to stop it. It's not nice to do it, but it's our calling. Equally, we must protect against wolves in sheep's clothing. People who have another agenda. Some people come in here and their ego is so big and they're so insecure, they just want to manipulate others. If someone comes in with that attitude, trying to mix in the community and minister and have any type of leadership, we've got to protect against that. You see, when a Christian church is functioning properly, it's one of the best places to be on earth. Don't take my word for it. Look at the World Health Organization. The people who live the longest and happiest lives on earth are people of faith. And they particularly zoned in on Christians. But if you're in a church and the leadership is dysfunctional, and people are ministering out of insecurity, or they're ministering out of manipulation or control, it's one of the most dangerous places you can be. Because in a church we open up, and if you're vulnerable and you've got someone who's got a very nasty agenda, it can destroy you. That's why leaders must protect. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
And that's why it's meant to be a safe place in a city of refuge. So that's the Old Testament. How does that translate today? Who are we and why are we here? One of the most profound questions that's asked again and again in the Bible. When the Lord says, who are you? Why are you here? What's that in your hand? God asks these questions. Why are we here? We're not here to have a hobby or something. We're here because this is what the Bible commands us to do. We are Grace Church Cork, and In our vision statement, we speak about relationship, reach out, and relevant. Some of you have heard it before, for many others it's new. Relationship is everything. We're called to have a relationship with God and a relationship with others. That's what's important. They said to Jesus, sum up all the commandments. What's the most important? He said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. I know that's not deep enough. Go away with your deep enough. Go away with your deep enough. It doesn't get any deeper than that. Amen? Amen. You know, people who say, oh, I want to go deeper. I'll say to you, show me, are you really loving God and loving others? Usually they're not. They're looking for an escape. They're coming up with some old theory so that they don't have to deal with the basics. That's as deep as it gets. Love God and love one another. You get that right, you've got it all right. You got it all right. So we're called to relate to God. That's everything we're about. We appeal to people to start relating, to come back to God if they've drifted, to continue relating, to go deeper in that relationship with God, and equally to relate with one another. No man is an island. No man or woman is meant to be on their own. The Bible says, how can you say you love God if you hate your brothers? How can you say you love God if you're indifferent? If someone is indifferent to other Christians, they're indifferent to God. I don't care how big their Bible is. I don't believe them. I don't believe them. It's not true. It's hypocrisy. Show me how you get on with others and that will tell me how you get on with God. Are you always fighting and causing trouble? I'd say you're always fighting with God as well. It's not complicated at all. Relationship, reaching out to those who don't know God. That is the number one calling in every Christian's life. Go tell everyone the news that the kingdom of God has come. And the kingdom of God has come. We'll say amen.
Amen.
Go tell everyone. We reach out to those who don't know God. But equally, we reach out to one another in support, in care, in love. Love one another, support one another, carry one another's burdens. That's what we're called to do. And then relevant. And this is hugely important. We have to be relevant to where we are and when we are. So, we're in Cork, Ireland, with the deepest of respect. We're not in Manila in the Philippines. We're not in Johannesburg in South Africa. We're not in Lagos, Nigeria. We're not in Sao Paulo, Brazil, though the weather is very similar, but you know, we're not quite there. We're in Cork in Ireland. Now, when I became a Christian 44 years ago, coincidentally, all of the Christians and all of the people living here were just white Irish. There was no one else. But Cork isn't like that today. And this part of the city is one of the most multicultural, cosmopolitan places in Ireland and in Europe. It is huge. You hear some countries talking about that, you know, there's too much immigration. We have way more immigration here than many countries. And praise God, we celebrate it. Amen. But all the locals say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's boring when everyone is the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
Praise God. We have to be relevant. However, we are Irish, but we're also international. And that balance is huge if a church is really functioning well. Not only that, we have to be tuned into the time we're here. I became a Christian in 1980, and I remember visiting a church a couple of years ago, lovely people, but they were all my age. They all became Christians the same time I did, and it was like stepping back in time. They were singing songs I remembered from way back then, including This Is The Day That The Lord Has Made. brilliant song, Stephen. It's good to have the odd oldie in, isn't it? I think it is, all right? But they sang the same songs. It was like they were stuck in a time warp. Some churches are like going back 300 years or something. The whole culture and the fit out of the church. We've got to be relevant to today. Now, the gospel never changes, but the method has to change with each culture and each generation. So while it was revolutionary in the 1500s, to have a book with the Bible. That's why it's just as important today that we're out there on the airways or on TikTok or Instagram or whatever. We have to be relevant to the time we're in. When the Holy Spirit is moving, there's always a fresh move of God. And you get the same in the worship songs. I mean, some churches, if it wasn't written 300 years ago, they won't sing it. It's hello? I mean, was that a holier time than today? It's ridiculous. There's some fantastic new Christian worship songs coming out. And if the Holy Spirit is moving, we want to be part of that. Who'll say amen? Amen. So we've got to be relevant as well. You may have seen this. You can see it there on the screen or sign. It's all over. We call ourselves Real People, Real Church. Now, if you're not from Cork, you might kind of go, what does real mean? You see, in the way we speak English in Cork, the word real has resonance. So, for example, the real capital of Ireland is Cork. Hallelujah! If you were the Irish Taoiseach or Prime Minister, if you've just moved here, the guys from Cork, like when I was a kid, there was a guy called Jack Lynch, and even long after he was dead, everyone called him the real Taoiseach. So it's like, and if someone, he's real, you know, it's a huge thing. So it's a local word, but it also means authentic and open. And we don't want anyone to come in here and have to put on a mask. So that means that we're not going to hide behind a dead liturgy. That's not real, with respect. We have to be honest. And so if we're not feeling great, we can say it at 9:30. There were about 50 of us praying at 9:30. Michael led the meeting and he said, how many people here would, he went around to everyone, if you put yourself on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 is doing great, 1 is really struggling, where would you put yourself? And while a lot of people are doing great, some people weren't doing great. And we were able to pray for one another. That's real. You don't have to pretend, just be yourself. You do you, I do me, and together we meet on the bloodstained ground of Calvary. Hallelujah. Amen. Together we meet in an atmosphere that's safe and accepting and encouraging. Helping and encouraging us to leave behind our baggage, but move forward with the plans of God. Church is also bigger than me. And we come to this church, and many people come here for different reasons. For a lot of us, it's about belonging to a community. When I was a child growing up in Cork, the community was where you lived. Everyone was in and out of each other's houses. Everyone knew each other's dental records. There was a positive side and a negative side. But you just don't get that anymore. Why? Because everyone has different screens now, and culture is hyper-individual. The problem is, the more community and the more faith there was in Ireland, the less depression, the less suicide, the less anxiety and addiction there was. But the more people move away from faith and community, the higher the rate of suicide, higher the rate of depression, higher the rate of addiction, higher the rate of anxiety. When community breaks down, people break down. And that's why we need community. Dare I say, the Christian church, even Grace Church, is a community that you can have life in. And it is a city of refuge. It's a place where we can make friends and be a friend. A place where we can discover our talent or share our talent. We celebrated Isabella and Lucas, who've joined one of the worship teams here. There's 6 bands in the church. And they are a drummer and a singer. And they discovered their talent. And they want to use their talent. How about you? Have you got a talent? Well, maybe you can use your talent in this community. And brothers and sisters, we make a difference. Someone said to me once, I go to work, and does it really make an awful lot of difference at the end of the day? You know, when we work for God, when we give some time to God, it makes a difference that lasts forever, for eternity. I mean, if I'm selling, I don't know, coffee makers. That's lovely. I bought a coffee maker recently. But it's not going to make a huge amount of difference. But if I tell someone about the good news of Jesus Christ, Their future for eternity, if they accept the Lord, is hugely changed. Now, we'll sell the coffee machines if that's our job, but the most important thing you can ever do and I can ever do is sow into eternity. Hallelujah. Because this life is not the end. This is only a rehearsal. The real deal happens later. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. So maybe you're here today. You've come here because you want to be part of a community, make a difference, make friends, discover your talent. Or maybe you came here, like we saw earlier, you're chased by trouble or anxiety. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's stress, sickness, family issues. Honestly, in a church of about 1,000 people, you've got all different issues that bring people here. Both they're chased here by it or they choose to come here by it. Stress is huge. I have never seen so many people stressed off their game. And you know what? Stress makes you sick. Stress has even been linked to cancer. I'm not going to let stress eat me up. Can I suggest a better way to deal with stress? How about we bring our problems and our stress to God? How about you leaving your stress in here at Grace Christian Church, 53 McCurtain Street, Cork? How about we hand it over to the one who was meant to carry it? Because your shoulders and my shoulders are too small to carry the weight of the world, but we can hand over our stress and our problems and leave them to the one who was and is to come. Hallelujah. And you and I can walk out that door free people. Yes. You might say, but it doesn't change anything. It changes you.
Yes.
It gets rid of the stress in you.
Yes.
And you're not on your own carrying this cloud with you. You, if you really do it, will trust there is one above me who is far more powerful.
Amen.
That is a recipe for life.
Amen.
That is a recipe, God willing, for long life. Because the stress won't eat us up. But even if you have been chased, like has happened for thousands of years, and you've come here to find refuge, you know what? When you give your life to the Lord, when you follow the Lord, instead of being chased by trouble, you're chased by something else. Let me quote Psalm 23. Surely his goodness and mercy will run after me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
How about we allow ourselves to be chased by God's goodness? How about we find the city of refuge? How about we throw our lot in with the city of refuge and help to build a community that is life-giving, that changes eternity for people? A place where we can enjoy life and be in a life-giving, friendly community where we all encourage each other. What are we? Who are we? That's who we are. It's a colony of heaven. And we are not the only ones. There are many others. This is not an exclusive thing. But we celebrate who we are and what we are today. Could the band come up? We're going to sing a song all about build your kingdom here. Because God is building community here in the city of Cork. He's building his kingdom, and you and I are called to be a part of it. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Because this is our destiny. This is our future. I'm going to pray for a couple of things. I'm going to pray for those who want to invite the Lord into their lives, or maybe you've drifted from God and you want to rededicate your life to God. You're going to get an opportunity in just a moment. I want to give us the opportunity for us just to say, you know, Lord, I'm going to be part of those who are building something forever. This church, this building will go in one day, but the spiritual inheritance goes on through generations. And when we die, we don't die and do nothing. We go to be with God. Hallelujah. We go to heaven. And so we want to pray and just say, Lord, here I am. Help me find my feet in this community. And then finally, if you want, we've got some opportunities in different areas in the church. Maybe you'd like to volunteer in some areas. But I'm going to ask you to stand. Are we all here? Some of us are here. We're going to sing this song all about building the kingdom of God. And then we're going to pray. Steve.
Come set your rule and reign.
Political parties won't last forever. Apple won't last forever. Pfizer won't last forever. Who's the latest icon? What's her name again? Taylor Swift won't last forever. These things will all go. But my word, God said, will last forever. So I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes. On stage, off stage, down the back, in the middle, and in total privacy. And all I can see are shadows. If anyone wants to invite the Lord into their lives, maybe for the first time, or maybe you want to rededicate your life to God because you've drifted and you're saying, would you come in again, oh God? With every eye closed and me just seeing shadows, I'm going to ask you to slip up a hand. And we're not going to call you up, okay? I see your hand, and I see yours. Hallelujah. I see your hand, and yours, and yours, and yours. Okay, I think we have six people. Hallelujah. What we're going to do is I'm going to ask everyone to say it. Let's say it in solidarity with these six people, but particularly those six. If you could repeat after me this simple prayer. Let's say it together. Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Will you come into my life?
Will you come into my life?
I don't want to do life alone.
I don't want to do life alone.
Will you be my leader?
Be my leader.
My savior.
My savior.
My friend.
My friend.
Heal my heart.
Heal my heart.
Give me a real future.
Give me a real future.
Forgive me my sin.
Forgive me my sin.
I turn to you, Lord. And I want to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Will we give these six guys a round of applause? Hallelujah. We'd love to talk to you afterwards. Talk to myself, Mike, Dara's around when Tribe is over downstairs. We'd love to give you a free book and maybe talk further. Don't be isolated on it. Make sure you're right with God. We'd love to encourage you. One more prayer, and that is you and me today saying, Lord, I want to thank you. And maybe you've never done it. Maybe you do it all the time. Thank you that there is a church, there is a community that I can belong to. Do you take for granted? Do I take it for granted? You know, there's a lot of countries in the world we would all be in prison. Try and do this in Saudi Arabia. Try and do this in Afghanistan. Try and do this in North Korea. You're closed down straight away. We have freedom in Ireland. Who'll say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
And we have a church we can be a part of and we can grow in and recover in and heal in. So I want to just simply say, Lord, we want to thank you for the community that we have here. If you're up for that prayer, just where you stand, would you raise your hand? You don't have to if it's not true. If you don't want to say it, that's okay. I'm not judging you. No one is. But if you want to say, thank you, Lord, for the church that we have here. Let's say it together. So I just pray. Heavenly Father, we could be on our own, and we know we need time on our own. But God, we're not called to live on our own. So we praise you, God. There is a place where we can go, where we can be fed by your word. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
Where we can worship the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Where the Holy Spirit can speak into our lives.
Amen.
Where we can make friends. Where we can be part of the community.
Amen.
Where our children and our teenagers and we're young adults and we're older people and in between. Where we can grow spiritually. So today we say thank you, Jesus, for the gift of having a church community we can be a part of. And we pray, oh God, would you protect this church? And would you keep every one of us safe from the lies of the devil? Yes. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
Lord, we pray that what you're doing here would be intergenerational. That our sons and our daughters, our children's children, would have this truth with them. And we ask you, oh God, that you would keep us in the center of your will. So today we say, thank you, Jesus, for the local church.